Will you please turn in the Word of God this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. And I want to read a very short Bible reading, verses 13 through 15. I don't intend to preach from these verses before us this morning, but they will introduce the character that I want to draw your attention to this morning. And from this portion, or from the two chapters that record his story in Matthew's Gospel, I want to preach on the ideal man for the job. The ideal man for the job. And we're going to speak for a little time this morning about Joseph of Nazareth. But first of all, we will take a few moments to read these few verses from Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Let us now hear the word of God. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. And may it please the Lord to bless the public reading of his word to all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll bow again for a brief word of prayer as we come to the message for this morning. Let's all pray together. Father, we do give thee thanks and praise again for the privilege of reading thy word together. We thank thee for this man that is brought to attention in these few verses. And we do pray that as we have thought about this man this morning for a time, that we will learn precious truths applicable to our own hearts and our own lives. We thank thee for him. We thank thee for the role that the Lord designed for him to perform in the service of God. And we pray that it might even now please thee to bless the message to all of our hearts. And may we find food to feed upon. And may we be blessed through the ministry today. And may we learn even from this good man, the right man for the job that God had ordained for him to do. So be with us now and undertake for us. We ask these things in the Saviour's name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. The ideal man for the job. Everything that we know about Joseph, the husband of Mary, and the legal guardian of the Lord Jesus Christ, comes to us from the scriptures. And there isn't a lot of information provided. However, we do know that he was a carpenter, a simple working class man. Matthew 13, verse 55 shows that to be the case. Now, we know that he wasn't a rich man, for when he, along with Mary, took Jesus up to Jerusalem, to the temple there, to present him unto the Lord, he offered two turtle doves, or a pair of pigeons, allowed only for those who could not afford a lamb. But in another sense, when they did come to the temple, and when they presented the Lord Jesus Christ, they were presenting to God a lamb, because, as we all know, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. So, in a sense, they were able to present a lamb unto the Lord. Now, despite his humble work and his meager means, Joseph came from royal lineage, being a descendant of David, Israel's greatest king. And from the scant information given about him, we know that he was a compassionate, caring man. He was a man of faith who loved God's beloved son. And his one concern was the well-being of the child entrusted to his care. He was therefore a good man. He was a gracious man. He was one who was chosen by Almighty God to care for his well-beloved son. Now, he only appears for a short time in Scripture, and then he suddenly disappears, never to be heard of again. So I am calling him the ideal man for the job. And I have a few things that I want to set before you this morning for your consideration about Joseph, this ideal man for the job. First of all, there are the few comments about Joseph that I want to make. Now, all we know of Joseph, we learn from the first two chapters of Matthew's Gospel and from the first two chapters of Luke's Gospel. Otherwise, he is mentioned only in passing in Luke chapter 3, verse 23, in John chapter 1, verse 45, and again in John chapter 6, verse 42. And there he is identified as the supposed father of the Lord Jesus. Now, Mark doesn't even give him a mention in his Gospel. Now, the interesting thing that I want to highlight is that there is a Joseph in the first book of the Old Testament and a Joseph in the first book of the New Testament. The first mention of the Old Testament Joseph is Genesis chapter 30, verse 24, and he is described there as the son of Jacob. And the first mention of the New Testament Joseph is Matthew 1, verse 16. And there we discover that Jacob begat Joseph, a different Jacob, of course, and a different Joseph as well. However, those who know the Scriptures know what Luke says in chapter 3, verse 23 of his Gospel. Luke says that Joseph, which was born of Heli. Now, one commentator says that this refers to elaborate marriage. And he says that Heli died, having no children, and Jacob, who was a relative, married his widow. So Joseph then, if this is correct, was the legal son of Heli, but the real son of Jacob. Now, I don't know if that is true or accurate enough, but I don't have any other explanation. I just don't know. So we have two different Josephs in the Word of God. They were raised up at different times to fulfill two different roles for God. And another interesting thing about these two men is that they were both associated with dreams. The Old Testament Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, you will remember the dreams that he had, verse 5 and again in verse 9. And then the New Testament Joseph, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, and then three times in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13, 19, and 22. And God revealed important things to them in this way. Now, we've got to remember the Old Testament Joseph didn't have a Bible, and the New Testament Joseph didn't have a Bible. And God spoke to people in different ways in those times. And one of the ways that he used was to reveal certain things unto them by dreams. So God revealed his mind and as well unto these men in dreams. Of course, today we have the completed Bible, and the Lord reveals his mind and as well for us in the Holy Scriptures. So if you have a need, if you have a burden upon your heart, God is pleased to use the reading of the Word of God to reveal his mind and as well unto his people in these days. Now, both of these men ended up in Egypt. We know the story of the Old Testament Joseph, Genesis chapter 37, how he was sold by his brethren, and eventually he was carried down into the land of Egypt. And Matthew 2:14 also shows how Joseph, the legal guardian of Christ, went down into the land of Egypt. Now, the first two dreams associated with the Old Testament Joseph in Genesis 37 got him into trouble. You know the story of what happened in Genesis chapter 37. And the final two dreams that he is associated with, the two dreams that Pharaoh had in Genesis chapter 40, got him out of trouble. So his brethren hated him and despised him and resented him, and that led to him being rejected by them and sold into bondage. And then the story in Genesis chapter 40 of how he revealed to Pharaoh the mind of God, what God was going to do in Egypt. And as a result of Joseph interpreting those dreams, then he was brought out of prison and he was elevated, and the Lord was pleased to use him in a wonderful way. Now, the same is also applicable to the New Testament Joseph. The first couple of dreams led to him going down into the land of Egypt, how God came to him in the dream and revealed his mind to him concerning the birth of the baby Jesus. And then when the life of Christ was threatened by Herod the king, how God moved upon Joseph again and revealed his mind to him in a dream, telling him to move away to the land of Egypt. So God moved these men in ways they never expected to move in. And they went places they never thought they would ever be. Well, that's a tremendous thought. The Old Testament Joseph never believed that he would become a prime minister. And the New Testament Joseph never thought he would become the legal guardian of the Messiah. The Old Testament Joseph was sent to preserve a seed, the people of Israel, for Christ would come from that seed. And the New Testament Joseph was sent there to protect a son. The Old Testament Joseph was sold into Egypt for silver. And when the New Testament Joseph went down into the land of Egypt, he went into the land of Egypt with gold. How did he get the gold? Well, the time came when the wise men came and they brought their various gifts. And one of those gifts was gold. And the gifts from the wise men provided for Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus during that time when they were in the land of Egypt. Remember, when God delivered his ancient people, the children of Israel, he provided them with resources to take with them. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 35 and 36, I remember how they borrowed certain things from the Egyptians, and they were lent unto them such things as they required. And so the Lord provided for his people, because the time came in the wilderness when they had to build a tabernacle, and they needed many various things to erect that building for God in the wilderness. And they had all that they needed because they had borrowed these things from the Egyptians when they left. So God provided for them just the way he provided for Joseph and Mary when they had to flee down into the land of Egypt at the time of Christ. And the lesson that we can glean from this information thus far is that God has a role for each one of us. He provides for us when he calls us to do certain things for him. God brought Israel out of Egypt through an act of redemption, through the shedding of the blood of the Passover lamb. And God brought his son out of Egypt in Matthew's gospel to accomplish redemption. And both involved the shedding of blood. And Christ as our lamb foreshadowed and the Passover feast in the Old Testament. It's also interesting that Matthew opens his gospel with a man who had a dream about the coming Christ. And it closes with a woman who had a dream about the condemnation of Christ. Now, we don't know her name, but she was the wife of Pilate. And she had a dream one night, and she sent a message unto her husband. And she says, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" Now, Joseph is described in Matthew as a just man. Verse 19 of Matthew chapter 1. Joseph, Mary's husband, cared for Christ. Pilate, the woman's husband, crucified Christ. It's also interesting that there was a Mary and a Joseph at the commencement of the gospel story in Bethlehem. And the Mary, that is Mary Magdalene, and Joseph, Joseph of Arimathea, at the conclusion of the gospel story in Jerusalem. That is, when he came to do his work and when he completed his work. So we have these few comments about Joseph. Then in the second place, we have the fine conduct of Joseph. We read here in verse 18 of chapter 1, Matthew's Gospel, Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. And it says she was found with child. Now, when Joseph discovered Mary's condition, he naturally assumed that she had been unfaithful to him. And sometimes we make mistakes about people. And sometimes we make mistakes about things. Mary Magdalene thought that the man in the garden was the gardener. But in actual fact, it was Jesus. Jesus came to her in her time of need, and he revealed himself unto her. I think also of the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. They thought that the man who drew near to them was simply a stranger. But they made a mistake, you see. It was actually the Saviour. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. It was a time of sorrow for them, a time of confusion. And maybe some of you today hearing my voice are going through a difficult time. You've been disappointed with someone or something in your life, and you may be feeling down in the dumps. But please remember what happened to these two disciples, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Things are not always as they seem. Remember the story of Jacob. Remember what he said on one occasion, Genesis chapter 42, I think it is verse 36, when he thought of what had happened to his family and his children and what was going on in the land. He said, all these things are against me. He was wrong. He may have thought that, but in reality, God was working out all things according to his divine purpose for Jacob and his family and his seed. God was in the whole thing. And you know the story of how Joseph was made known unto him in the providence of God. After all those years, Jacob thought he was dead, but in reality his son was very much alive. And Christ died on Calvary's cross, but he lives today, and he lives in the power of an endless life. And one day we will have that glad reunion when he comes again, or he takes us into his divine presence, and we shall ever be with the Lord. So according to Romans 8:28, all things were working out for the good of Jacob and his family and his seed. And we know that in the fullness of time, Christ came from the children of Israel, and he was born in Bethlehem's manger, and he died on the cross of Calvary, all in the divine purposes and plans of God. So he was perplexed when he learned that Mary would become a mother before they were married. Many would have thrust her away and put her to an open shame, but he would not expose the sin, if you like, of his espoused wife. Yet he felt that she must be put away. And it says that he was minded, or he intended, to do something about it. But he would do it quietly. He didn't make a fuss about the thing. That was his mind anyway. And Spurgeon said, when we have to do a severe thing, let us choose the tenderest manner. Maybe we shall not have to do it at all. And it says, while he thought on these things, verse 20 of chapter 1, he mulled it over in his mind. He didn't act rashly. He thought before he acted. That's always good, a good thing to do, to think before we act. The Bible says we need to be slow to wrath and to consider the matter thoughtfully, Proverbs 21 and verse 5. So when we think about what it says here about Joseph at this time, we see Joseph thinking. He's thinking things over. He's mulling things over in his mind before he does anything. Saint Joseph had the best guidance of all. Matthew 1 verse 20 says, "Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, saying, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." The Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream. It was personal. It's always good to get a personal word from the Lord. For he said, Joseph, he named him. There was no mistake about this. And when God speaks to our hearts and his word, we will know it. It came with power to his heart. The first time the Lord spoke to him. This was the first time the Lord spoke to him. Since Joseph had the best of guidance from heaven, he had the assurance that Mary had not sinned, but that she was highly favored by the Lord. How he must have been comforted by those words, "Fear not." It was the word of God that calmed his troubled mind and brought peace to his soul. And there may be many a child of God in turmoil today. And what you're looking for, what you're praying for, is peace and calm. Get into the book today. Turn to the word of God. Pray that God might be pleased to speak to you personally the way he spoke to Joseph so long ago. So we see Joseph thinking. We see Joseph trusting. Verse 24 says that Joseph did exactly as the Lord had commanded. He did as the angel had commanded him. And it says then that he took unto him his wife. It says Joseph took, verse 24. So we have Joseph thinking, we have Joseph trusting, and then we have Joseph taking. Now, he was no ordinary man. He was just an ordinary man, a carpenter to trade. I've mentioned this already. And Mark chapter 6, verse 3 tells us that the Lord was a carpenter. What does a carpenter do? A carpenter makes things. He specializes in making all things new. And so Joseph was a carpenter. And the Lord Jesus Christ followed in that same profession, that same calling in life. But let me apply it spiritually. The Lord is the one who can make all things new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things become new. Joseph was also an obedient man. He did what he was told to do. He fled into Egypt when he was told to go there. He returned to Israel when he was told to return to Israel. And then he moved to Nazareth when he felt it was safe to go back to Nazareth again. His home and his heart was changed when Christ entered. His focus thereafter was on Christ. That's a tremendous thought. The Old Testament Joseph had two sons, Manasseh meaning forgetting, and Ephraim meaning fruitful. The son that Joseph raised can cause God's people to forget their guilty past and make them fruitful in the service of God. And the one that Joseph raised, the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God he's become fruitful. He gave his life on Calvary's cross to redeem his people from their sin. And thank God, through the preaching of the gospel, the kingdom of God has been extended. And the message is fruitful, producing fruit, with the ingathering of tens and tens and millions of precious souls into the kingdom of God, all because of the work that Christ accomplished on Calvary's cross. And I suppose we could say in many ways Joseph was an overlooked man, but he served the Lord Jesus. So we've looked at these two opening points, and we come now to the final thought, the faithful contribution by Joseph. Now, Joseph is mentioned five times in Matthew chapter 1, in verses 16, 18, 19, 20, and 24. Five in the Bible is the number of grace. And you will see in chapter 1, verse 16, that he is linked with Jesus Christ. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, which is called Christ. We can apply this spiritually, of course. It's only by grace that we have union with Christ. That's the vital link. And it's the grace and mercy of God. And unless men and women have that vital experience of saving faith in Jesus Christ, then they will perish and be lost and be damned to all eternity. But here we have a man who had this vital link with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important to seek the Lord while he may be found and to call upon him while he's near. He's mentioned twice more in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 19. And what was said of the colt in Mark chapter 11 could be said of the carpenter. The Lord hath need of him. The Lord chose Joseph to be the legal guardian of his dear son. He was handpicked for the task. The Lord chose Joseph to raise his son. When God needed someone to care for a son at his birth, he used Joseph. When God needed someone to care for a son at his burial, he used another Joseph. Matthew 27. One was poor, the other was rich. God uses all kinds of people. One wrapped the body of Christ in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. The other wrapped his body in linen cloths and laid him in a tomb. Christ was born in a virgin womb and was buried in a virgin tomb. Both these men cared for and honored the body of Christ. And we too are also to care for his body, the church. We are to care for one another. We are to love one another, just the way these two men cared for the literal body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we, as the people of God, are to care for the body of Christ. Now, nothing is recorded of what he said, only what he did in verse 24, what he did. And the Bible does say that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only, James 1, verse 22. He was to name the child Jesus. That was the command given in verse 21 of the first chapter. He was to name him Jesus. And in verse 25 it says, he called his name Jesus. Only one word we know that Joseph ever said, according to the scripture, was the word Jesus. The name of Jesus was on his lips. Oh, what a testimony. He named the child that was born Jesus. He was a very special man with a special mission. But we never hear him speak apart from what he said in verse 25. Jesus. The Spirit focuses on his works more than his words. But the word that he spoke was a tremendous word. Jesus, Savior. Is he your Savior? Do you have his name upon your lips as you worship him as your Redeemer? Or maybe the only time you use his name is in a swear word, when you get angry with something or someone. Do you know Jesus, the Savior of sinners? Have you trusted him for salvation? Do you know him as your own and personal Savior? The wise men in the Advent story were warned, they were advised by God to return to their home a different way. So they had travelled a great distance. They travelled from the east on a long journey, seeking the newborn king. Then they met with the newborn king. They prostrated themselves at his feet. And then they went away home a different way. And when men and women come to know Christ the Savior, they will always return a different man or a different woman. They will go in a different way because of the mercy and grace of God. We also read of Joseph being warned of God. The Lord knows how to foil the purposes of the wicked and deliver his people out of the hands of those who would destroy them. What an encouragement then we have from this story of the ideal man for the job. And God has something for you to do, something that only you can do. Maybe no one else would be in a position to witness to an individual or a person or whatever. And you are found in that position, that location, where you can share the message of the gospel with that individual or those individuals. There's a special role. Maybe someone here has been hearing the call of God to the mission field or to the work of the ministry, to prepare yourself for the work of God some time in the future. God has a special role for you to play in His service. And I trust that He will speak to your heart through His word, and that your eyes will be open to that great truth, and that you will surrender just the way Joseph did. He surrendered to the call of God and to the will of God. He may not have fully understood it at the time, but he was willing and obedient to the voice of God. And then when he fulfilled his role, he suddenly disappears from the pages of Scripture, never to be heard of again. But during his time on earth, during his time in the Word, he did that which pleased Almighty God, and he had great care for God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a few comments about Joseph, the fine conduct of Joseph, and the faithful contribution by Joseph. And may God be pleased to bless his word to all our hearts today for Christ's sake. We'll close now in a brief word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee today for the time that we have spent in thy precious word. We thank thee for this wonderful character that has been brought to our attention. We thank thee for the calling of God in his life. And when that call came, he was pleased under God to submit to the leading of God, to engage in the service of God, in seeking to preserve the dear Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he dearly loved and served. And Lord, we thank thee for that vital contribution. And help us to follow his good example, to yield ourselves unto the Lord our God, and to serve him faithfully, just the way Joseph did many, many years ago. Dismiss us with thy blessing and in thy fear. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.